These words of our text in the verse 19 are among the very first words recorded that the Savior spoke after the commencement of His public ministry. He began to preach, and the theme of His message is given to us in the verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, in addition to that information, we are told in the verse 19, the first words almost, I think, of direct speech that are recorded in the New Testament that the Savior spoke on the commencement of His ministry. He said to Peter and Andrew, follow me. His words on this occasion were not directed to a multitude. They were rather directed to two individuals in a very private setting, even though it was in a public place. There was just the two men, two individuals on the side of the Lake of Galilee, and the Lord speaks to them these special words. Here is a very personal and a very important private encounter with the Lord. Now, as we think of this, we can readily observe and learn the importance that the Savior attaches to what He is saying here in the verse 19. When He says, follow me, and He speaks those words in this intimate setting to Peter and Andrew, it is obvious that it is something that is of extreme importance. It's something that we should give careful attention to. Here is, at the very beginning of His ministry, the very outset of His preaching in the land of Israel, He comes aside, away from the crowd, away from the multitude, to speak to these two men and to say to them, follow me. The fact that this record has such a place of prominence, coming as it does at the very beginning of the Savior's ministry, indicates to us the importance of these words. This was a theme to be found in the message of the Savior all the way through His ministry. It's found right here at the beginning, as He starts. The very first element almost of His teaching ministry is the need to follow Him. Follow me. Now, as the Lord said that to Peter and Andrew in that very personal fashion so long ago, it is our prayer today that the Lord will draw near to us and speak to us in this individual way. That the Lord will speak to you as an individual today. That the Lord will come to you and come to me and in a special way say, follow me. I want you to observe that in these words, you have the simple rule of all Christian living. Here is a simple statement. What could be easier than to read these words and to understand these words? Now, applying the words is a different matter, but it is a simple statement. Follow me. This is the very heart of all Christian living. This is what it means to be a Christian. The whole gamut, the whole range of Christian activity is summed up in these simple words. There is nothing that God will ever require of you or of any other man or woman that does not fit in with these two words. Follow me. It doesn't matter what area of Christian life you look at or what particular duty or task or calling that is set before us. It all will fit in with this statement, follow me. In John chapter 12 and the verse 26, the Lord Jesus Himself again is the speaker. And listen to this statement that He makes there. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, doesn't matter who he is or where he is or when he lives, if any man serves me, let him follow me. The service of God in any age, by any individual, any service whatever, can be reduced to this. Let him follow me. That's what serving the Lord means. It means following Christ. Now I want you to think, as we look at these words, that this statement is simply the gospel call. This is the heart of Christian living because it is the essence of the gospel. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who has embraced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes the gospel, who has welcomed it and trusted it, and that they have been saved by the grace of God. And when the Lord said to Peter and to Andrew here, follow me, he is merely, literally, and I'll show you this in a moment, repeating the gospel invitation. It is a natural extension of that first step that the sinner takes in faith and repentance to trust Christ. When the Lord said to these men, follow me, he wasn't introducing anything new to them. He wasn't suddenly raising the bar. He wasn't suddenly setting before them some new task. He was merely reiterating to them what they had already heard, what they had already come to believe, what they had already accepted as they trusted Christ for salvation. Let me just show you an example of this. In Matthew chapter 11, you hardly need to turn to the words, but in Matthew 11 and 28, that well-known statement of gospel truth, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There you have in a nutshell the gospel truth. Come to Christ. But do you know that quite literally, those words, come unto me, exactly the same as those translated in our text by follow me. Come to me, follow me. Just the same words in the original scriptures. A little different in our English translation, but the sense obviously is the same. But when you know the simple fact that originally they're exactly identical, I think the truth comes home a little more powerfully. That when the Lord said to Andrew and Peter, follow me in a life of Christian service, all he was doing was repeating to them the gospel message. And if you have responded to the gospel call, if you are sitting in this meeting today and you can say, yes, I have heard Christ call in the gospel and by faith I have accepted him as my Savior, then as an extension of that or as a repetition of that simple call, the Savior says, you follow me. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's all about following Christ. You can't become a Christian without coming unto me. And you can't live as a Christian should live without following the Savior. Following Christ is the very essence of all Christian service. We're emphasizing that point. From the very moment of salvation, when the sinner closes with Christ in faith and by God's grace they're made part of Christ, from that point on, they are yoked to him and are to follow him. He is to be our guide in all things. Now, at this point, both Andrew and Peter are believers. You will find, we'll not take time to do it this morning, but in John chapter 1, in the verse 41 and 42, you will find there that Andrew, up until this point, was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was already a believer. He had linked himself up with the preaching ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And then on that wonderful day when John announced for the second time, behold the Lamb of God, Andrew followed Christ and he went home and he got Peter and he said, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is called Christ. We have found him, and Peter came and he trusted the Savior. They're already saved men at this point. Here is a truth that the believer needs to learn. If you're a Christian here today, you need to learn that this is the will of God for your life. You're to follow Christ. You're to follow him. if you're not saved? Well, the call is still the same, but there's a slightly different application. You need to come to Him. You need to follow Him as your Savior. You need to turn from your sin. You need to repent of your sins and come to Christ. But we're thinking of words here in the context specifically that are addressed to believers. And dear child of God, this is how you should be living. This is what God says to you. Follow me. Follow me. In John 10, in the verse 4, we read that it is one of the characteristics of those who know Christ. We were singing a little while ago of the Savior as our shepherd. Well, here are His sheep. Verse 4, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. The sheep follow Him. That's how you know a sheep of Christ. That's how you know if you are indeed one of His sheep, and if He is your shepherd. My sheep follow me. That's what the Savior said in verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Lord is addressing believers, and He says here, come unto me, come after me, follow me. This is the rule by which we must live every day. This is the rule by which every child of God must live all of the time. Now, I know that today there is something of the idea that the Christian can live as he likes 6 days a week. Well, probably in reality 6 7/8 days of the week. And maybe for an hour on the Lord's Day, and maybe not even every Lord's Day, they have to live like a Christian. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus says to His people, follow me. And when He says that, He means every day, all day. In Luke chapter 9 and the verse 23, here is a powerful statement again from the lips of Christ. He said unto them all. Not one in the audience that day were exempt. Not one of them. I don't want you to think now that you can sort of excuse yourself from what's stated here. The Lord said to them all. And so the Lord speaks to all here today, to all of us. He said unto them all, and then just to repeat the truth, He says, if any man, doesn't matter who he is, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you see the word daily? Every day. Every day, all day, the Christian is to follow Him. Oh, there's a cross to be borne. There's no question of that. He is to deny himself. He is to take up his cross. He's to do it daily. And he's to follow Christ. That's what it means to follow the Savior. And when the Lord says, follow me, He means, this is the rule for life. This is the rule for every day. This is not just something that you can take up and lay down at whim, according to whether you feel like it on a given day or not. If you're going to serve the Lord, then you have to follow Him. And you have to do it daily. It doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in life. Or how difficult life gets. And it can get tough. It can get hard for the Christian. It can get hard. I think of the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 in the verse 21. Writing to those suffering saints of God. In the most part, they were Jews. They had been scattered. They were part of the diaspora. They had been scattered abroad and persecuted. And he writes to them in their state of suffering. And he says to them that Christ also in his sufferings has left for us an example that we should follow in his steps. It doesn't matter how difficult life can get. We are to follow in his steps. Even where there is suffering and persecution and affliction of every kind, follow me. Follow me. This is the principle that is to govern the Christian's life at every point. We have concentrated our attention upon the Christian's life on the earth. From the moment of salvation, every day, this is to be the rule. Follow me. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, how difficult your life is, the Lord says, follow me. But if you turn over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, you will see that this is the principle that governs the Christian's life even in heaven. Even in heaven. Revelation 7 and the verse 17. The language is a little different. The truth is the same. For the Lamb, that's the Savior, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. He's speaking of glorified saints. Shall feed them and shall lead them. They follow him. Go over to Revelation chapter 14 and the verse 4. Again, there is a reference to glorified saints here. Saints that appear with Christ on Mount Zion. The middle of the verse. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Described in their sinless perfection, in their glorified state. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now, if that is the rule of heaven, surely we can say that it is the principle of a complete, a happy, a glorious Christian life. If that's how we're going to live in heaven, well then, there ought to be a sense in which we live like that on earth. In a very real way, for the Christian, heaven will not be any different to what life is like now. All that will be different in degree. But if heaven is a holy place, well, the Christian is to live holily on earth. If heaven is a happy place where the joy of the Lord is felt, we're to feel the joy of the Lord to a degree upon the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is to be our prayer. And the will of God is done in heaven. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Is that how you're living? Is that how you're living, Christian? Are you following the Lord? That's what it means to be a Christian. If you have to say in all honesty before God today, no, I'm not following the Lord. I'm not following the Lord. Well then, you've got away from what you should be. If you are a Christian and you have to confess and say, Lord, I've failed. I've got away from the path of following the Savior. Well, put it right today. But if you have to say, well, no, I've never been saved. I've never come to Christ. I know nothing about what it means to follow Him. Well, then we just remind you of the gospel invitation the Savior Himself gave. Come unto me. Get right with the Lord today and begin to follow Him. This is the simple rule of Christian living. But I want you to notice, secondly, that this statement demands submission to Christ's will in all things. When he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, there is a sense in which he is impressing upon these disciples the thought, you must be in submission to me and to my will. I'm going to lead. You're going to follow. I'm going to be the focus. I'm going to be the captain. I'm going to determine whether we go to the right or the left. I'm going to be the one who sets the direction for your life. This is what the Lord is saying to his disciples. But you will see that in the words it is made clear. When the Lord says, follow me, he means that we are to submit to the molding, the shaping work of his grace. Follow me and I will make you. Let's just stop there for now. I will make you. I will work in you. Follow me and I will work in you. There is to be a submitting to that working. There is to be a submitting to the working and the energy of divine grace in our lives. That's what it means to follow the Lord. It means that we will place ourselves under His hand and say, Lord, work in me. Make me something. We sang of the potter and the clay. It's a marvelous picture. It is, of course, a scriptural picture. The Lord set that picture before the prophet Jeremiah. What it means to be a Christian and to follow the Lord is to say, Lord, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, make me after thy will. Now, the power of God has already been at work in the life of the Christian. The Christian is a Christian because God has worked in him. Because God has been at work in grace to make that person a Christian. Salvation is by grace, by God's work. It's his doing, not our own. I was thinking of the words in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 10, where the apostle there, having said that we are saved by grace, and it's by faith in Christ alone, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his work, his new creation. What a work of power is involved in that, is suggested to us by those words. The Lord, if we think of Andrew and Peter at this point, has already been at work in their lives. He has transformed their lives by his saving grace. Once they were in deadness and darkness and sin, now they're the children of God. They've been justified. They're righteous before God. Already a great work has been done, but the thought is this. There is a work yet that is ongoing. The work of justification is complete. The work of sanctification just begins. And it is an ongoing work. It will be a lifelong work. Follow me and I will make you. I will shape you. Tell me this. Are you being made by Christ? Are you now being worked upon by him? Do you know in your life the molding, shaping power of God from day to day? How long has it been since you felt the touch of the Lord's hand? When in your heart and your soul you knew that the Lord had put his finger on something and you learned what you hadn't known before, that yes, this is sin, I have to deal with this, I have to put this away. And you felt the Lord, as it were, squeeze the clay a little more and shape it a little more. And make you a little more closely conform to the pattern of his word. How long has it been since you felt, let's put it this way, the fingers of the potter? How long has it been since you felt the touch of his hand? Because it is the mind of the Lord that his people follow him. And as they follow him, he works in them. The Christian who doesn't follow the Lord, and really that's a contradiction in terms, but we have to recognize that many of the Lord's people do not follow him as they ought to do. They grow lax and careless and don't follow as they have been commanded. But the Christian in that backslidden state will not know the work of the Lord in their lives. See, what comes first? It's follow me and I will make you. You want to be like the Lord. You want to be made what he can make you? You need to follow. It's only as we follow that we are made. That he works within us. That we know his power in our life and our circumstances. And that we are shaped and molded according to his will. There is an ongoing work in the life of the Christian that needs to be done. And that none but the Lord can do. I was thinking of an Old Testament scripture in 2 Chronicles in the chapter 30. Where you have the people of God in a day of reformation, a day of turning back to the Lord. Under King Hezekiah, the temple had been reopened. Proper worship had been reinstituted. And in the verse 12, there is a marvelous statement made there of God working among the people in the kingdom of Judah where Hezekiah was king. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. When they were obeying the king and obeying the princes, they were simply obeying the king's command, which he was relaying to them from the word of the Lord. They were obeying God, in other words. And it was the hand of God working in them that gave them this single heart, one heart to obey. Many of the Lord's people live lives of disobedience. You need the touch of God's hand. There are things in your life that need to be put right, and God needs to put them right, and you can never deal with them yourself. You need Him to put them right. And you'll only experience His hand at work and power as you follow Him, as you go after Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, and the verse 21, the apostle is closing the epistle with a wonderful prayer, praying for God's blessing and power in the lives of these believers. And in the verse 21, he's praying that the Lord would make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a work that we need done. I want that work done in my life. I trust that you today can say, I want the Lord to work in me. He'll work as we follow. As we come to Him, He'll work. Work in the heart to enable us to obey. Work in us to make us more perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. When the Lord said, follow me, it means that He desires us to submit to His working in our lives. But obviously it means that He desires us to submit to His leading and direction in all things. His will is to be of paramount importance. I don't know how you live or how you make decisions, but if you're a Christian, your decisions should be subject to the will of God. He says, follow. There are decisions we all must make on a daily basis. Some important, some not so important, it seems. And yet we never know how important matters can turn on very insignificant little things. But you need to know the mind of the Lord. You need to take the right step today. You need to be sure that the step you're going to take now, this day, tomorrow, you need to know that it's the right step. You can only know that as you follow the Lord. That's the mind of God for you. You'll see, we don't have time to go into this morning, but you'll see that this was a statement that challenged all that they had known and all that they held dear up until this point in time. They had to leave the old life behind. They had to leave, in their case, they had to leave employment behind. They had to leave their livelihood behind. They had to leave, in a sense, we could even say their culture behind. They had to leave so many things behind in order to follow the Savior. You read down a verse or two, and James and John are called with the same call. They leave their father, they leave the ship, they leave their nets, they leave the servants. They leave to follow the Lord. There are things that we'll have to be turned away from, but His will is to be of paramount importance. No Christian should allow any other leader or any other influence to hold sway over them. Just follow me. Just me, the Savior said. Oh, the Lord in His wisdom uses human instruments to reveal His own will. I think, for instance, of how Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And Paul followed Christ and the congregation in Corinth there in 1 Corinthians 11:1. They were to follow Paul, but in reality they were following Christ, as Christ was revealed to them through the ministry of Paul. Where we allow circumstances to guide us, and events unfolding around us in life, sometimes they can guide us. But we must ever make sure that those circumstances, we can see in them the hand of the Lord. That it's not just blind chance or circumstances happening by accident, but that we can see in them the definite working of the Lord, so that we can say, even though on the surface we're guided by circumstances, yet we can say, I know I'm following the Lord in this. But what comfort and encouragement this command brings with it. Follow me. If we take the Lord at His word and we go after Him, it means we're in His company. Where I am, John 12:26, there shall also my servant be.
in His presence, in His company, with Him.
If we're following Him, then nothing that we encounter in life, or everything that we encounter in life, He has already met. It has come past Him. If He's ahead, if He's in front, here's the beauty, here's the bliss of following the Savior. And if we're following Him, then nothing can come to me, but it meets Christ first. And I don't know about you, but that's the way I would rather live. I would rather meet things in life, no matter how tough and difficult they are, if I know the Savior met them first. He has been there. He has gone through them. And when I come to affliction and adversity and trouble and trial and testing, He has gone ahead. And I'm following Him. What encouragement there is in that. Surely, and if we remember the verses that we looked at in the book of the Revelation, this is heaven on the earth. Some people have the idea that following the Lord is such a hard thing. Oh, it's tough on the flesh. Hard on the flesh. But what a wonderful thing it is for the child of God. It's heaven on the earth to follow the Savior, to be in His presence. What more will I enjoy in heaven? I'll not enjoy anything more in heaven than this. Being with the Lord and being led by Him as those glorified believers even now are. What a scenario to live in. I set before you these words this morning as the command of Christ. I want you to hear them as an individual. I want each one of you to hear them from the mouth of the Savior Himself. Follow me. Submit to me. Be shaped by me. Be molded by me. Enjoy my presence. Enjoy my protection. Follow me. Will you follow Him today? If you're not saved, will you follow the Lord? Will you leave your sin and your guilt and your shame and your hell behind? The damnation that awaits your soul in eternity. Will you leave that? Now, that's not a hard thing to ask. That shouldn't be such a difficult thing. Will you leave that behind and follow the Savior to glory? Christian, follow the Lord. Not only for a few minutes on the Lord's day, follow Him every day, and He'll bless you for it.